This morning's Bible verses are taken from Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through to verses 30. Woe on unrepentant towns. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I will praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. In heart you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. As Alan said, my name's Malcolm. I'm part of the community here at St. Matthew's, part of the church. Matthew, being away on holiday, has left me a real beauty of a reading. When I looked at it first off, he'd given me a title, Woe and Rest. Now, I don't know what you'd rather have, woe or rest, but there's something to think on for the minute. However, I'm going to ask you a question for you to think on. I'm not necessarily going to give you a chance to be able to say to me what it is, but here's the question, or here's the first part of it. Have you ever been given advice and ignored it? And the second part to that question is, what happened? Because I think this reading really is about that. Jesus had given advice, not what he called advice, but he'd shown them the way, he'd told them what they should be doing, and certain cities didn't do it. And so that's where the woe comes in. I'm going to give you a practical example. As many of you know, one of my I have to call it an area of expertise because of all the qualifications and things I've got in it, is health and safety. And before you go, no, here you go, let me give you an example. This is one thing that I actually hated, because most of the teachers, when I was the deputy head at a school, would do it. Here's the question. What are these? Step ladders. And what do you use them for? Climbing. Yeah? Getting height. Okay? Here's the second question. What's that? Or what's it for? Because in health and safety, when a manufacturer makes things, they have to come under some sort of design regulations. So you said these are for? And these are for? Climbing. My bugbear when I was in charge of my staff was that they used this for No. Climbing on whenever there was a notice board to have a new backing or a border or a notice and child's work put on it, my staff wouldn't go and grab those from down the corridor in the cupboard, which they should have done. That was for their safety. They'd grab these. At which point I said to them, if you fall off that, you can claim nothing. Because it's not a set of steps to climb on. And I went, oh. And I could guarantee, one day, 1 week, 1 month later, they'd be back using those to stand on because they've got lots of those in the classroom. Yeah. And one of those down the corridor, in the cupboard. So there is a piece of advice that they ignored. Let me, before I go into the reading that Jackie read us, give you a little bit of a context to this whole thing. The 10th chapter, and bear in mind we're in the 11th chapter, I'll cover some of that in a minute. The 10th chapter of Matthew records the commissioning of Jesus' disciples. And he told them to go out to teach, to preach, and to heal. The text doesn't follow what the disciples did. Rather, it follows what Jesus did. And in 11 verse 1, after Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and to preach in the towns of Galilee. So we know where he was. And in the course of those travels, the chapter records, as we heard last week, John the Baptist found himself in prison just after the start of Jesus' ministry. And John sent one of his disciples, and Alan will laugh at this, because when we did ALM, we had a preaching assessment. And this was the piece that I preached on that occasion. When he sent them out and said, go and ask, are you the one or do we expect somebody else? Now, it's not that he didn't know Jesus, because bear in mind, he baptized Jesus. He'd seen the dove descending. He'd heard God's word. This is my son with whom I am well pleased. So John the Baptist knew who it was. I think what he was questioning more was his ministry. So when he asked the question, are you the one who is to come? 11 verse 2. It was more likely to question Jesus' method of ministry because he already knew who Jesus was. So let's come to this week. Jesus did most of the works demonstrating divine power in the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, which are all located on or near the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Although they had witnessed many miracles, most of the inhabitants of these cities refused to repent. That was their problem. They refused to change their ways and persisted in their unbelief. Now, I could stand here all day long and I say, well, look, everybody on their feet, if you all stand up and you stand on your left leg and you lift your right leg and you rub your tummy and pat your head, you'll find that your pockets are full of gold coins. It wouldn't take you very long to work out that I wasn't telling the truth, because I could guarantee within a few minutes or a few seconds with some of you maybe, you'd be doing that and trying it and saying, but I haven't got any. But the fact was, Jesus had performed these miracles, and so therefore that was the proof. So verse 20 talks in terms of that persistence in their unbelief and not changing their ways. And that prompted Jesus to reproach them. Why? Because they didn't repent. His pronouncement of woe in verse 21 must have been accompanied by great sadness. And verse 21 goes on to say, "For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." In other words, even they would have done it. You should have done it first, but they would have done it ages ago. But you're still persisting. And he adds, "But I tell you, it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon the day of judgment than for you." And what does he ask, Capernaum? He says something quite damning. "Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No! You'll go down to Hades. You'll go down to hell." Now that is a real serious woe, isn't it? You've been given the choice, you've made your choice, you've chosen the wrong one, and you've been told you are going to hell. And he says, even the morally corrupt inhabitants of Sodom would have repented, verses 23 and 24. By reason of what they had seen and heard, the inhabitants of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum were far more accountable for their actions than the people of Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom. This unresponsiveness of the majority didn't embitter Jesus. Rather, he rejoiced about those who did come to repentance and put their faith in him. So he was able to have a comparison. These people have, you lot haven't. Therefore, it's that woe bit. But the good news is, no one is debarred from coming to Jesus. In verse 25, if you've got your Bibles open, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them," "and have revealed them to little children.'" And I think the sum up of that bit is, it's not what you know, it's who you know. If Christ reveals himself to you, you are blessed. Knowledge of God is never attained, it is received. It seems to be a fact that our knowledge of God and godliness rarely, if ever, comes from universities or theological colleges. We don't usually know God through investigation. We know him because he reveals himself to us. Verse 27, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father." And he goes on quite a complicated piece. And you don't know the Father unless you know the Son. And you know the Son because you know the Father, etc., etc. But it ends, "And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So we're chosen. We are a special people if we have accepted Christ as our Saviour. Jesus' choice, as evident from those who became his loyal disciples, were all persons who had repented of their sins and came to acknowledge him as the Christ, the Son of God. But verse 28 gives us some hope, because it says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Not, I might think about it if I've got time, or if I've got nothing else in my diary. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you. Well, let's give a little bit. That's not an egg yoke. That is the yoke like cattle or horses have, where you put the yoke on and you're going to pull a trailer, or you're going to pull a plow, or you're going to pull something. You're doing something for somebody else. And he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now that's the encouragement. We've been warned, but if we get it right, Jesus is saying, come to me. So it is those who are weary of carrying their own burden, those who are overwhelmed, those who come in humility and place their own burden on his shoulder and learn to rest. There's a practical example. If I put a wooden cross here and gave you all post-it notes to put your concerns, your worries, your troubles, all the rest of it on that post-it note, and ask you to come forward, stick it to the cross but walk away, it's a practical example of leaving your troubles at the cross of Christ, because he died once and for all. We don't have to go and take them back. That's a human thing that we want to do it. Oh, he's not dealt with it yet. I'll just go back to the cross. I'll nip that back from him and I'll see if I can find another way round. Come to me. And he says, learn of me. Jesus is gentle, he's tender, he's loving. There's nothing about him to make others feel inferior of worthlessness, or to make you feel worthless. Therefore, the yoke of discipleship that he offered would be easy to carry, and the load would be light. In verse 30, that says that. And it would not be a life governed by a multitude of rules and regulations. And dare I say, perhaps like you might think of health and safety. But actually, health and safety doesn't say you cannot do. What it says is, if you think about it, you can do it more safely. But it does not. There's nowhere in the Act that says you can't do. That's solicitors who say, if they do that, we could get sued. Well, how do we apply this to our life? Well, let's compare the Jews' complacency to perhaps our own complacency at times. Are we quick to repent? When we listen to the messages at church or Bible studies, are we quick to change our behavior and obey? Or do we go through the outward motions of following God while not changing our deeply rooted behaviors that are contrary to the word of God? Well, let's have a look at it. Firstly, the invitation. The invitation, it's available. It requires action. Jesus says, come to me. It's for the called. The weary and the heavy laden are called. There could be different reasons for being weary. Weary of sin, weary and tired by the burdens of this world, weary and tired by the burdens of trying to keep so many man-made laws and traditions, weary and tired of trying to be good enough to be accepted by God. The goal, we think, is continually out of reach. An empty heart and dissatisfaction are ever present. But the final thing, the promise. He says, come to me, all of you, the weary, the burdened, the troubled, and I will give you rest. It's the same type of promise Jesus made when he said he is the bread of life and also living water. Jesus promises rest. Not physical rest, because if you note in the scripture, Jesus rarely rested. He fell asleep once in a boat. And what did they do? They woke him up because of their unbelief. But a rest from toiling on our own to reach what we think is unachievable. He gives us what we are longing for. He fills our hearts and he gives it as a free gift. And if you don't believe me, you can look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We don't earn it. We aren't reckoned necessarily good enough, but we will get it. So if we are weary in this world, we need to come to Jesus. If we are striving to accomplish things with our own power, we need to come to Jesus. If we are trying to be good enough to be accepted by him or by others, we need to come to Jesus. If we are stressed and our thoughts are in turmoil, then we need to come to Jesus. He is a shepherd who leads us to the green grass and the quiet waters. Are we following him to these, or are we still like the sheep in Isaiah? All we like sheep have gone astray. If not, if we don't come to Jesus, the warning at the beginning of this chapter is that we'll go to Hades. So here's the choice. There's no sitting on the fence. And I'm sorry to have to say it this way, but I can't do it any other way and be true to the gospel. There is a choice. Come to Jesus, or you're not going to have a very pleasant life. Because he warns Capernaum, and that's the warning for us. Now, I didn't know what the songs were for today because I hadn't looked. But I've got this bit written down. And if you look at the next song that I think you're going to sing when I finish, I've got here John 3:16, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have promised us that if we come to you, if we turn from our old ways and come to you, that you will give us rest. And Lord, we don't have to be good enough. We don't have to, in fact, we can't achieve something which gets us into that, because the only way is through the Son to the Father. And so, Father, we thank you that we have this scripture that gives us the warning, but gives us the hope and tells us what we need to do. May we, by your Spirit, Lord, understand these words and take them to heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.